special addition to the worship team. The one who is playing is a bit shy, bowing very low down. I can see that. We have our cellist there. Yeah, let's put our hands together just to... I honestly, for a tone-deaf person like me, I could tell you honestly from my heart, I heard the music, I thought there was a difference. Not bad, now your pastor. Don't play, huh? But when Shahiri told me that she will be singing, playing this week, she told me that last week, I said, sure. And we had a good meeting, and we have good review of our church, and especially with regards to various ministries. Sean is not here today. I think he's very busy, going to become a father soon and all that. But there are many things that are being put in place. I say this as a simple introduction because we are still in the midst of two developments that we are currently in. Entering into these new premises this last 1 month and plus since December. And then many of you are now perhaps more fully aware of the details, although I've also announced it, that the Neighborhood Baptist Church, NBC, confirmed that they'll be joining us from the first week of next month. That's the 1st of February. That's also the first Sunday. And yesterday, they had a meeting, Elder Bansing, Sister Soon Lee, together with Sean, Yi Hui, Joel, and Hui Chi. And I wasn't there. I don't need to be there because we need to be there, you know. But with their team, especially the younger ones and their leaders, I know that they had a very, very fruitful meeting. But in the midst of all these things, what have you been receiving by way of the Word of God that your pastor, week in, week out, joyfully, honestly, and with great conviction and amazement of God, the word that He will put on my heart and the word I share practically every week of the year, except when I'm away. But I've been contemplating on that, and I really sometimes put myself in your shoes, sitting down there over the past weeks, mentioning these two new developments that we are facing as a church. How has the messages come across to you? What have you heard? What have you received? What are you convicted about? What would your response be? You know that for many years now, as a church, we have been preaching on a book-by-book basis. I know that outside there will always be people who might think that they are more superior in some ways, and I say this in a general sense, don't get me wrong. Oh, we are good in expository preaching. Only our church preaches expository preaching. And by that, the word expository is meaning simply, let the word speak for itself. You don't have to be too clever by half. You don't have to be too creative. Of course, you can use examples. You can use illustrations. But speak what the word says and not what you want the word to say for you. Sometimes you say that a text without context becomes a pretext for whatever a speaker wants to say. And I'm sharing this because I think this is useful. We are living in very dangerous times. We are living in times where the Bible tells us that there are a lot of false teachings, heresies. You can't differentiate between right and wrong so easily now. Satan is not stupid. He doesn't come to you with blatant lies, clear black falsehoods that you say that cannot be from God. He comes and he subtly mixes it, half-truths, half-falsehoods, and so forth. And you can't differentiate. No wonder the Bible tells us to be discerning, to practice. Hebrews chapter 5 tells us we ought to be growing and not always be drinking milk. That's the secular illustration. We should be ready for meat, but many of us are still like babes, like infants, physically, needing just milk and consuming just milk. We need to move on. But let's be very clear. Whether we do book by book or else it's like piecemeal messages like we've had over the past weeks, every sermon has to be expository. Every sermon, every text used has to be exactly what it says. And not because, oh, I want to speak on this topic. I don't know my Bible well enough. But this verse has got some words that can relate to what I'm saying. Use this as the text. Now, that's the difference. Over so many hundreds of years, the art of preaching has been improved. Great, good preachers have taught how you can learn preaching skills. Bible scholars, teachers have delved into the book of God, and they have many differences, even among conservative, sincere, true Christians. God allows it. Sometimes I say, God, why don't you just standardize everything? Why don't you, like, for example, some other faiths and religion, you don't preach a sermon on your own. It's the same standard sermon all throughout their different congregations, and it's from the top up, down. It's very mechanical. I'm not saying they're necessarily right or wrong. I'm just saying this for comparison and for our comprehension. Now, why am I telling you this all day? Because I want to just do a quick review of what we've done since December when we moved into this place. And then this month being really a transitory month before 1st February, as I mentioned earlier, when NBC, Neighborhood Baptist Church, will join us officially. It's all settled. What have you been listening? Oh, Pastor, I remember you talk a lot about the church, right? That was our December pulpit. And I told you that I used the passages from the book of Joshua, because Joshua is about entering into the promised land. He's talking about we coming to a new place. And just these first few chapters, 1 and 5, that talks about our new commission and how we are to be strong and bold and be courageous, how we are to be reconsecrated in our lives, because it's a spiritual ministry. It's not about creativity. It's not about our competence. It's about our consecration. It's God's word, and it's God's work that we are dealing with. And then we close the end of the year-end service with the commitment. Now, when you look at a series of titles like this, do you think it's just only applicable to the church? Would it not be applicable into your own life personally? And as heads of your families, would you not take the lead as the head of the family to say, this is also what my family, the family, will press on toward? God wants us to be strong and to be courageous where we stand, whatever our circumstances, however things may come at us. Not necessarily always the good things, not always when everything goes on smoothly in life. What if it doesn't seem? The death of a leader, Moses is dead. My servant Moses is dead. Suddenly, it's like the country without any leadership, without any direction. But God always has His person, people who will be ready to rise up and take the mantle. So be strong and be courageous, Joshua. You are the new leader. As I was with Moses, I'm with you. Where you were previously, where you are now, nothing has changed. Yes, there's been movement, but the mission is the same, the vision is the same, the calling is the same. But let's use this occasion for a time of rededication, consecrating our lives. Not thinking that all exciting things are happening, we are ready to march on, we are ready to conquer the world. Joshua was surveying the land. And thinking about his strategies, probably suddenly the captain of the host said, Joshua was only concerned, are you for me, for us, or for the adversaries? He says, I come as a commander of the host. You better be on my side. Remove your sandals. The ground you stand on is holy. Church, that has tremendous implications for success, true success, and prosperity of life. Not your capabilities. Not your competence, not your creativities, not your acquiring more knowledge and improving yourself. A holy person, I remember this quote that I used to use many times years back. A holy person, man or woman, is an awesome weapon in the hands of the Almighty God. Paul used a different illustration. In the household, there are many kinds of utensils, all kinds of things. Some for honorable use, some not so. Oh, you got your precious crystal, crockery. You may have your precious gold, silver, platinum, or whatever metal kind of utensils. Special occasion, important guest, you roll them out. Other times, broken chopsticks also, never mind. Fork one type, spoon one type, also never mind. You know what I'm trying to say, right? But when it comes to the things of God, no such thing. Be truly consecrated. And I suggest we continue to keep this consecration, not just at the beginning of a new year, at the turn of a new milestone or whatever, but a constant daily renewal. Elder Bunsen has started the read through the Bible. I'm very, very thankful for that because I use this, as I've told you all last week, this is my new reading program for the Bible for this year. I hope we continue to keep pace and to finish it. Show the commitment. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Or would you serve the Lord only out of convenience? Quite honestly, if you'll bear with me, don't get me wrong. What I'm sharing, you will just sign up, and in the simple message for today, it will just, I trust, lead us to the messages to come till when that time in February, we have the other church joining us. If on a typical Sunday you wake up and you somehow don't feel like, between God, between church, and me just staying a bit longer on my bed, snoozing along, or doing something else, some other activity, quite honestly, what we choose? I think without doubt and without pretenses, we must admit and say, I choose the latter. I choose to do my own thing. If I can sleep longer, I sleep longer. If I can have another activity that I can be involved in and therefore using it as an excuse not to come to church, I will take it. Honestly. Anyone of us there to say that's not true? That's true. And it's not just only about saying that I'll be here on church, in church on this Sunday. It's about your preparation. When you have an important appointment, task to do in the day, you are more than prepared. An important person you have to meet, you are more than ready. Church, never mind. The singing time, 20 minutes, 30 minutes. They are just warming their vocal cords. I don't need to warm mine. I come conveniently at any time I feel like. In any way I choose to walk in however I choose to dress, to be dressed. And I'm covering everything. Because this is an opportunity for me to speak on the essentials of true church life. So that was our December pulpit, right? What about this year when we started in January? The theme. And I told you why, and I continue to be very convinced this is a very important theme for this year. Test all things. Don't just blindly see and believe, hear and receive, feel and say that's right. No. Be like the church in Berea, Acts chapter 17, when the apostle Paul preached. The Bible tells us they went, they checked scripture, they had the Old Testament that Paul was preaching from to see if this was so. Last week, our three dear sisters who sang the gently listening to the voice of God. Are you listening to the voice of God? That's from John chapter 10. My sheep hears my voice. My sheep knows if this is my voice or the voice of a counterfeit. You test all things. You hold fast to what is good. When NBC, and that was, as I've shared with the council yesterday, some 3 months or so back, although it was a 2-year process, I happened to be February 2023 speaking in the church, and they were talking about their merger process. And I was sucked into their discussion, and I was quite aware of what happened. Being a Baptist, denomination, the church, of course, they look at their denomination churches. But at the end, they settled for THOP. But it doesn't matter whether you're Baptist, Methodist, you're Anglican, you're Presbyterian, you're what. Hold fast what is good. Not just necessarily what is traditional. Remember the seven deadly words. We never did it this way before. No. You must have always, and you must be always doing what is right, what is good. It's not taking the best of whatever system. It is taking the truth in every expression of what God's word is about and how His church is to be run. So we started with this theme, and this is what will carry us through. And this 4 weeks, yesterday, last Sunday was the first, today is the second. You're going to have a few piecemeal. When I say piecemeal, I mean individual pieces of sermons. I had not wanted to share because now, you know, like with Pastor Gonhao and with our people doing the Zoom, they'll always message me. So, Pastor, what's the pre-reading verse for today or this Sunday and next week and all that? What are the sites? I said, honestly, I don't know. And I've told you, and it happened. On the very morning itself of Christmas Day, I completely changed everything. And Pastor Gunhao just as well, and he was there with us. You recall what he said? That he said, oh, there was only one lady, Sister Pauline, Sister Sally. That's her Christian name. And she was sitting with Mi Feng, who is assistant to Pastor Gunhao. They could do it. So that's how it is. I share this also because I think over the years in ministry and how I first started as a pastor back in 1979, I'm thankful for older pastors that were mentors to me. Some say, you don't know how to preach, don't worry, come, I teach you how to preach. Some say, well, pray until the next day, still no message, then go up and say, I got no message, let's close in prayer. Of course, that's a joke, yeah? But I see different styles. I see God is able to accept or allow all this because ultimately He's sovereign. But what about us? Again, as I ask you to apply the three messages of December that we saw a while earlier into your life, what about for this first month of the new year? Are we focused on the things of God? Are we being careful to divide between the Word of God, test everything, listen to the voice of God? John says, do not believe every spirit, but test every spirit. If it's a spirit of Christ, the Spirit will confess Christ has come in the flesh. So the Bible has given us instructions on how to do so. What are we going to speak on today? We're going to speak about the new commandment. You recall we did a series, The Great Church, last year. As I told you, currently it's a series that Pastor Daniel is doing with the NBC. Because it's a good one for them to finish up this last month that they have at their current place. A new commandment. When we start something, when we embark on anything new, what is the foundation? What is the motivation? And I suggest to you that it is the word love. Because when God started the work of salvation, what does that most familiar verse tell us? John 3:16. God so loved the world. That's the foundation. That's the basis. That's the motivation. If God had not so loved the world, everything else, tapake, no use. God so loved the world that He gave. His very essence is love. God is love. But it's not just in His essence, but in His expression, He did something about it. He didn't just pay mere lip service to the word love. He gave His only Son. So we'll look at this shortly, and it will not be a long sermon. We'll close with that. But then what about the next 2 weeks? I was a little hesitant there. I told Sarah I may not want to put out the slides, but later on, I thought I'll be quite okay. And you know what really changed my mind? Yesterday when I was traveling in the car with my son, and he drives, when he drives, he takes care of everything, he takes control. Even whether I want to hear or don't want to hear, what he plays, I need to hear. And it's usually a sermon from St. Abbs, right? Is that called St. Abbs? That's the name of the church. What was the topic? Love. I say, okay already lah. I'm not trying to be presumptuous, but I say that was to me quite clear now that what I've been impressed upon for the series for this month does flow. Start with the theme today, reestablish the foundation of love among us. Next week, go back to the core of what ministry is all about, prayer and ministry of the word. And then finally, the conduct. So, 4th January is our theme for the new year. Today, it is the commandment that we're going to look at. Next week, prayer and ministry of the word. Some of you, as you look at Acts chapter 6, verses 1 to 7, you might know what is it about. It's the first crisis of the New Testament church, where because people were not all properly taken care of, some of the widows were not taken care of, and there was a big crisis. And what did the apostle say? Appoint for yourself among you 7 men full of spirit and of grace, and you have the first 7 deacons. Then they say, but as for us, we shall devote ourselves to prayer and the ministry of the word. Why are we saying this? Because whatever may be the new commandment, charge given to us, as we continue to press on, the core of ministry, core, C-O-R-E, has to be prayer and the word. That's why when Elder Bunsing started the read through the Bible for the year, I think that is establishing that part of the word that's so important. And of course, prayer is in there. Pray before you read, pray after you read, pray again, and see what God is speaking to you. And then the final Sunday, we walk by faith, not by sight. Because when we continue to walk in the Lord and to serve Him, how do we conduct ourselves? So there is a commandment, there is a call, there is the conduct. We conduct ourselves not merely by sight. It doesn't mean that we take absence of our minds. Bible tells us clearly in 2 Timothy, God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power, of love, and of a sound judgment. We can exercise our intellect, exercise our will. But we do not just do it at the secular, physical level. We do not just walk by sight. We ultimately walk by faith. And that will also include spiritual warfare, Ephesians 6. How we are not fighting against flesh and blood, but against principalities and rulers and powers in high places. So I trust that this gives you a good overview of what we are doing over these weeks. You might have, I saw some of you taking pictures of this, but this I think are also available. I'll check with Mason where you can access all this. But I hope you review them over this month. Next month, when we start with NBC joining us, we will start with the book of 1 Thessalonians, because that's where the theme, the verse is from. And so appropriate. Because 1 Thessalonians chapter 1 is very rightly called the model church. Every time you say, hey, let's be like the New Testament church, let's be like them. What are you talking about? You don't want to be like a church like the Corinthian church or some of the other churches where they had all kinds of problems. But not so with the church at Thessalonica. Chapter 1, the first 10 verses, all verses in that chapter, speak about how Paul was so proud of this church, how it serves as a model. And I thought that would be a good kickstart for us as we come together with the Neighborhood Baptist Church. So I say that, yes, I'm giving you an overview, but today we look at this new commandment. And again, I'm not going to go with too many points, but look at these two verses, in chapter 13. Jesus says, a new commandment I give to you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this, all will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. Let's be very clear about the Gospel of John. Gospel of John is standalone John. Matthew, Mark, and Luke are often called synoptic. Synoptic, syn, similar, optic, from the same viewpoint. They look at Jesus as a man. John writes about Jesus as a divine Son of God. And you know that that was what the Gospel of John was all about. To proclaim clearly the seven great I ams. I'm the light of the world. I'm this, I'm that. I'm the resurrection and the life. All are assertions of his deity. But very interestingly, from chapter 13 onwards to chapter 17, and this all happened on the Thursday night, if you like, on the last week of Jesus, when Judas was no more in the picture. He did wash Judas' feet like he washed the feet of the other disciples, but when they asked, who is that that's going to betray you, Lord? He took the bread, the morsel, dip it, give it to Judas. You go back, read chapter 13. And he says, what you must do, go do quickly, which is go and betray him. From thence onwards, with this as the context, these last two verses, and then leading on to chapter 14, 15, and 16, you see all the teachings of Jesus highlighting particularly the third person of the triune God, the Holy Spirit, and telling us how, this is how, we shall walk and live in victory. Concludes chapter 17 with what we call the high priestly prayer. So you must understand Bible this way. Okay, and I'm working on having Dr. Koh, maybe last time when Shirley was in SBC, she got her to do the Bible survey. And I thought that was one of the best that I actually sat through and say was very clear. You already got your walk through the Bible, now read 1 year with that. Really, the intention this is have a better grip and grasp of the Bible. Have a better grounding and press on to higher grounds for the Lord Jesus. Amen. So, Jesus came to the last one where before he gave his first words of comfort. John 14 verse 1, let not your hearts be troubled. Can you understand what Jesus is trying to do? He is trying to challenge the people on how they are to prepare for his soon betrayal and crucifixion. It's a disaster. He could say, don't worry, let's go, let's ready together. I've got thousands of angels on heaven that will come and conquer. He speaks to the heart. He knows that the disciples will understand suddenly Jesus is no more going to be in their life. When you suddenly realize that as a Christian that you have professed all these years, suddenly there's a clampdown. You cannot become a Christian. You cannot read your Bible. You're very restricted. What would your heart feel? You would be so gung-ho. Come, let's go take the gospel to the ends of the world. You'd be very worried, very scared, afraid of persecution, afraid of injustices and all that. Jesus calmed that with that one verse, John 14 verse 1, let not your heart be troubled. After telling them this basis, he goes on. So I'm not going to continue with John chapter 14, 15, and 16. I'm just telling you that that is how you understand it, where Judas was no more a part of the chosen apostles. So no part in it, because he betrayed Jesus. He became an apostate, not an apostle, an apostate, someone who gave up his faith. A new commandment I give to you. It's quite straightforward. There are two thoughts this morning I just want to share with you. Characteristic of this new commandment and the consequence of obeying this commandment. Just as simple as that. They are there. I don't have to create them. What is so new about this commandment? It is now because we are to love as Jesus loved.
The new commandment is different from the great commandment that when we did our series on the great church, the great confession, the great commandment, the great communion, the great commission, and the great celebration. Why different? Because the great commandment is love the Lord your God with all your heart and love your neighbor as yourself. What was the context? The lawyer, the Pharisees came trying to stumble Jesus. Tell us, what is the greatest commandment? Why? Because out of the 10 commandments that God first gave to through Moses, they created 613 more commandments. They were trying to trick Jesus into saying something that they can hold it and say, you are not a true teacher. This is not what the Holy Scriptures say. That was a great commandment. But this is a new commandment. This is starting from the basis of people who say, I love Jesus. This is our starting point. You claim to love Jesus? He's telling you, I want a new commandment. Not just to love one another, lovey-dovey, you know, wonderful worship, environment is good, no persecution, aircon is working well, pastor didn't take too much time, I'm happy to continue with whatever I want to do. Very happy to love God and to love Jesus and to love one another. But now a new commandment. What's the characteristic? Now to love as Jesus loves us. And how did he love us? And I'll just read two other texts from this same context of John 14 to 16. John chapter 13 verse 1. The context of the environment, the feast of the Passover that they were celebrating. Now before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour had come that he should depart from this world to the Father, having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. That gives us an indication what it means to love as Jesus loved, to love to the very end. Then lower down, in chapter 15, verses 12 and 13, he kind of reminded them about this new commandment. This is my commandment, that you love one another, making reference to what we've just read. And then telling something that they never expected. Greater love has no one than this, than to lay down one's life for his friends. That's the ultimate. How do I put it? Highest form of love that one can show. So, this characteristic of the new commandment, I want to suggest to you that it has got these three things. It is first, sincere. Love must be sincere. When we did the series on the book of Romans chapter 12, and even this current theme that we have in 1 Thessalonians 5, after we are told to test all things, hold fast to what is good, abhor all evil. Is our love true, genuine, sincere love? Or are we harboring evil thoughts and motivations? And I tell you, this is going to be so important for us to be able to discern and get it right. Satan, disguised as angels of light, he knows how to come in his very nice way to appeal to you, to come across as very, very reasonable and to be caring and to be offering you this, that, and everything else. But ultimately, he wants your soul. He has to be sincere, no evil. Let your love be without any hypocrisy. That's another phrase in the Bible. Not only is it sincere, it has to be steadfast. Whom, having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. Steadfast, unwavering, from beginning to the end. Same word that the Apostle Paul writes, he said, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, because your labors are not in vain. I feel like giving up. I'm getting all the crap for people. They don't appreciate me, never mind. They scold me. They misunderstand me. And you get very easily upset. And we lose our sense of steadfastness, our sense of joy of service. It's the same word, the steadfast. When Jesus says, him who love whom him who he loves, he loved to the end. No breakage, no jumping ship. Today I love you, tomorrow I don't love you already. Today very good, tomorrow not so good. Not with Jesus. The characteristic of love is that it is sincere, it is steadfast, and ultimately it is sacrificial. Greater love has no one than this, than one who lays down his life for his friends or brothers. You're prepared to give your life. And actually, to me, this sacrificial part is quite reasonable, even at a secular level. A parent with a sick child would pray and say, Lord, let the sickness be on me. I'd rather I suffer than my child suffer, right? Parents, you do that, right? Or a loved one that is about to die. And you say, let it be upon me. And that let the person, you're prepared to give your life. But when you put it all together, is your life a characteristic that God wants? Not the same level of the love of God. This is what we call the agape love, the ultimate love, the love of God. Not the filial love, love among brothers. Not the eros love, love that is sensual. There's a difference. But we love, as John says, because he first loved us. It's a challenge to us. It can perhaps immediately address for you circumstances and situations in your life where you say, enough is enough. Why should I put up with this? Why should I care? I just do what I want. And I contribute wherever I can, wherever I choose, no, I can. Because you can do more. But not so with God. The characteristic of his love is that of sincerity, of steadfastness, and of sacrifice. We go back to the text. Verse 35. By this all will know that you are my disciples. You have love for one another. I think in the last gathering we had at Elder Bunsing's place, he shared from this. How to make yourself known as disciples of Christ? Oh, I preach Jesus. I know all about Jesus. I went to Bible schools. I got degrees in theologies. No, very simple. By this, by what? By the way you obey my new commandment to love as I love you, characterized by sincerity, by steadfastness, and by sacrifice. People will know you are my disciples. God is holding himself to how we behave. I say, God, you're taking big risks, you know. I'm not going to be up to that standard. Sometimes maybe I'm good. Things are fine. Happy with everything. I can serve God for 40 over years. But other times I say, enough is enough. You know, one of the things about ministry, and I'm not just talking about people who go full time, but this is something which over years I've spoken with, and especially with people in ministry, that without a doubt, the greatest concern many of these people say is at the end of my life's journey, at the end of my service for God, I must have no regrets. No regrets means what? I must not have bitterness. I must not have unforgiveness. I must not have resentment. If any of these things creep in, the ministry said to say, it's very tainted. Absolutely tainted. That's the standard God holds us against. And that's the standard he's prepared to say, I'm putting my word on it. I know my disciples can do it. All right, how can he say something like that? You want us to go preach the gospel. Be the light of the world. Be the salt of the earth. Praises that we always say so frequently, and sometimes I might say so frivolously. And yet God is saying, just one thing. You can truly demonstrate love as I tell you now how to love as I love you by this. People know. No need to say more. The onus is on God now, as long as we play our part. So church, this is the message for today.
a new commandment.
As we continue for 2 more weeks for this transitional month, if I may call it, of January, preparing ourselves. But if I may recap again, not just because I'm speaking this from the standpoint of the church, from the standpoint of a pastor, I'm saying this because it applies to all of us. Whatever our state of maturity, whoever we are, in whichever family we are born into, in whatever vocation God may have placed you, and whatever circumstances you may face, know what God is telling you to do. Consecrate yourself afresh. Stay committed. As a team, watch out for false teachings. Watch out for all the depravity and the distortions and the heresies that we're going to contend with. Respond with love. Continue in prayer in the ministry of the word. And walk by faith and not just by sight. Let us pray. Lord, may our ears truly be open and our hearts receptive and our spirits sensitive to what that we believe you are laying upon us in our lives individually, in our family situations, and in the life of this church, this family of God. Nothing else really matters at the end of the day. How we are sometimes so easily awakened from our slumber, our distractions, that the attractions of this world, the things of the world, take the immediate priority and our concern. When you clearly say, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, all other things shall be added unto you. What shall it profit a man, a woman, if he or she gains the whole world but loses his soul? Very fundamental truths, O Lord, that you have given to us in very cryptic, very short, but very sharp sentences, so that we do not need to distort it in any way. And so today, Lord, as we hear your word again and as we continue in this onward journey that you have for us as a church, for what you have in store for us, for every family represented, things that the family is looking forward to, occasions to celebrate, occasions to prepare for, challenges to overcome. Also in our individual personal lives, as we pray for the safeguarding of our own soul, not to be a Judas that